we're all the people who are working on the projects. So there's no like executive who's in this group telling us what we should or shouldn't be doing. And this was all like donated time. So this was, you know, 10% of each of our time that we were all donating to pulling these parts and pieces together, bringing data forward that they couldn't do before, whether it was just, hey, like, look at these 8 change projects happening for every single person at the company at the same time. There just wasn't that information available. And so I think from that perspective, people started seeing the value in just having this knowledge and having this expertise together.
Laurel Zetlinadze is a digital workplace leader with a rich career in digital platforms, change management, employee upskilling, and a number of other rich skill sets in the digital workplace arena. Laurel's held leadership positions at Johnson Controls, Whole Foods, Arm, and Microsoft before landing at LinkedIn 3 years ago. During our chat, we discussed the GEEK, which is actually an acronym, as a key strategic change leadership tool for transforming the employee experience at LinkedIn. In our conversation, Laurel also talked about how her previous roles prepared her for her current position at LinkedIn, including her tenure as a customer success manager at LinkedIn. We talked about her career trajectory, her professional development activities through Stage Laurel, and we also talked about AI and what it means for digital workplace practitioners around us. Join me now for what turned out to be a wonderful and fascinating conversation with Laurel Zetlinadze as we explore the world of digital workplace leadership and career development. This is Nancy Goebel, your host and DWG's chief executive. As always, Digital Workplace Impact is brought to you by Digital Workplace Group. Happy listening. Laurel, welcome, welcome to the studio. I'm so glad to have a chance to catch up with you.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here and to be a part of this amazing podcast and the Digital Workplace Group. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. Of course, I have to start by saying we met quite a few years ago, in fact, during your Johnson Control days. And yep. I have followed your career very closely. And you've since gone on to other practitioner roles, whether it was at Whole Foods or Arm. And I remember you made a right-hand turn, and I was really surprised when you announced that you were moving on to Microsoft and you became a customer success manager there. And nowadays, you were at LinkedIn, and you're a digital platforms and change management leader. And I just felt like it would be a really interesting time to bring you into the studio to share a little bit about your career, some of your learnings, what's happening in our industry now. I know that you're somebody who's very active in sharing your thinking, active in the speaker circuit and what have you. And so I thought, gee, why not bring you into the studio for a chat?
Oh, thank you. That's very humbling, you know, when you're in your career and you're exploring new things to do and trying to stay on top of, you know, the digital space. It is incredibly challenging to see sort of the forest through the trees. So, you know, just hearing that you've even been following me just warms my heart.
And others will be warmed equally as they learn more about you. So let's jump in. My first question for you has to do with the fact that you have had a really rich career. And I think it would be really interesting to hear your thoughts on how your previous roles have prepared you for your current role at LinkedIn.
If we back the train up all the way to when I started at Johnson Controls, at that time, I was looking at, and what I used to always say back then, back in the day, was that I liked to be in roles where I was bridging the gap between communications or the business and IT. And ultimately, that sort of translated into how are we connecting people to technology, and how can we, like in this day and age, put people at the center of how we work and the way that they interact with technology and the workplace and all of the, I would say, building blocks to what employee experience has become. And I know when you were just kind of talking about some of my history there and being on the practitioner side, you know, when I joined Microsoft, I didn't think of it as that big of a pivot at that time. I thought, hey, this is a really cool opportunity for me to work with lots of companies that are trying to figure out this thing called digital workplace or digital transformation, however you want to label it. And I thought, this is really great because I'll be able to go work for Microsoft and then hear the stories and work with Microsoft customers that are faced with the same challenges I've been faced with, whether it was at Johnson Controls or Whole Foods or even at LinkedIn today. And I really think that, you know, communicators as a whole would benefit from the experience of not only working in sales, but there's so much you can learn from and apply the skills of empathy and just communication, right, to the role of a CSM and the way that adoption and change management works. And I think it's been those skill sets that I gained there have been instrumental in my role here at LinkedIn, because LinkedIn, I sometimes say I'm sort of CSMing LinkedIn from the inside. So there's a lot of like, you know, herding cats and trying to figure out why there's certain behaviors that exist within the company and why we use technology in this way, and how does that apply to communications as well as any of the other things that are happening internally in the company. And, you know, really having that skill set of understanding adoption and change management and like how technology, how IT thinks about their workspaces was all stuff that I really gained at scale in working at Microsoft. And of course, my IT experiences working at the other jobs were helpful too. But I think it was a really great role for me to take at the point in my career where I just wanted to absorb as much knowledge as I possibly could from different companies and then as well from Microsoft in terms of how Microsoft thought about stuff. And then when I joined LinkedIn, one of the first aha moments I had was like, do I have this perspective or did Microsoft teach me to have this perspective about this thing? And it took me a little while after joining LinkedIn to be like, I'm pretty sure Microsoft convinced me to think this way, and it's not actually my idea. And that's okay, right? Because Microsoft is really good at that. And I think it was beneficial for me in my career now and in my career at Microsoft. But it also helps me understand kind of how that human brain works as we think through, you know, what is making me use this technology or what is making me communicate in this way through these channels. And so all of my jobs have really helped me get to where I am today. And I think whatever I do next, wherever I go next, this role will also be instrumental in that.
And drawing out those learnings as you go along is so important, especially because our industry is a fast moving one. And, you know, to survive, if not to thrive, you really have to take stock of what you're learning as you go along and really aspire to be a lifelong learner in that journey to stay not just relevant, but compelling as a professional who is leading change, especially in and around the technology arena. And so am I right in thinking that you're fast approaching your 3-year anniversary at LinkedIn?
Yep. It doesn't, in some ways it feels like time has flown and other ways not so much, but yeah, I'll be coming up on 3 years in a couple months.
Wow. And so what would you say you're most proud of from your 10 years so far? And tell us a little bit about why you're thinking that way.
Yeah, well, this will be no surprise if anyone from LinkedIn listens in on this, but the way the company culture works is that there's a lot of this like scrappy startup mentality, even though we're over 20,000 people, where we're thinking about like, how can we do cool stuff and build it quickly and see what happens. And because of that, there's a lot of pockets of great things happening that are very disconnected from other great things that are happening. And when I joined the company, I kind of approached it with a, I guess maybe what would be a standard way of approaching digital transformation, which is, get executive buy-in, get the leaders to tell people what they're going to do. Also very change management kind of structured of like, hey, we need to align, we need to drive strategy, we need to kind of top down, articulate what needs to happen and bring everybody on board. That really did not work here. It just didn't. And when I really thought about where can I have the most influence and where can I have the most control, it was really at the project level. So when I looked across the organization, I thought, there's a huge gap with knowledge, with change, and kind of with program management and how all of these things are structured across the company. They exist in pockets. Nobody's really talking to one another. So I formed this group, which is now called The Geek. It's the Generating Effective and Efficient Knowledge Group. We love having fun names here at LinkedIn. And it's a knowledge management function that's cross-functional. It's one of the first real groups that was cross-functionally formed at the company. And our role is really to look at the best practices and standards for how knowledge is created, stored, and maintained within LinkedIn. And we have visibility into various projects that are happening across the company from a technology change standpoint, from moving knowledge from one knowledge base to another or streamlining them together. And I mean, this encompasses sales and finance and HR and comms and just everyone that's there. And there's so much energy that's brought to this group because people can really see the impact that this group is having across the board. And I think people get really energized about the idea that now we have insight into projects that we didn't have before. And we're able to connect the dots in ways that are only going to help the company become more productive and efficient. And from a communications perspective, it helps inform where we're communicating, right? Where we're storing our knowledge, whether it's like, do we put an FAQ in SharePoint or do we need to save it in ServiceNow? There's so many different options and choices, and how eventually does that influence things like AI and GAI that are top of mind for everyone these days? So I think that is probably one of my greatest accomplishments, was just forming this cross-functional group that is now influencing projects at scale across the company.
Well, that sounds like a very exciting milestone within your tenure at LinkedIn. And what were some of the things that you did to bring others along? Because that's part of the change curve, introducing, a whole new framework and way of going about driving progress.
Yeah. So I teamed up to start with a friend of mine in HR operations, and she and I were experiencing some of the same frustrations in each of our own little worlds. And we thought, well, if we're not getting what we want from a technology standpoint, we'll focus on the content. And it actually wasn't that difficult to bring people into a space where we were like, hey, we're trying a brand new approach here. And we kind of went through this phase of like, all right, let's really understand what's going on. And people wanted to contribute because they saw the value in having a cross-functional group. And I think we're all the people who are working on the projects. So there's no like executive who's in this group telling us what we should or shouldn't be doing. And this was all like donated time. So this was, 10% of each of our time that we were all donating to pulling these parts and pieces together. And then now as it's evolved and really become part of the company, we started bringing in our stakeholders, our management chains and all other stakeholders into it. And they in turn saw that we were bringing data forward that they couldn't do before, whether it was just, hey, like, look at these eight change projects happening for every single person at the company at the same time. Or it was like, hey, did you know that there's this much data being stored in SharePoint and this much data being stored in ServiceNow? There just wasn't that information available. And so I think from that perspective, people started seeing the value in just having this knowledge and having this expertise together. And even today, I was just on a meeting earlier today with the geek, and there were two new people that wanted to join. And so I think when you are doing cool stuff that can be seen across the business, people want to be a part of it. And so we haven't really struggled with bringing people in. Where we are kind of taking it to the next level is how do we get it to be more formal than, just a bunch of friends getting together trying to solve the world or LinkedIn's knowledge problems.
And so, do you have a vision for how that might manifest itself, whether it's at a strategic level, a measurement level, anything that you can preview for us in terms of the 2024 agenda for the geek?
Yeah. Man, it's such a, I think there's so many soapboxes I could get on with that question. I think what's really bubbling up now, and some companies have this structure, right, where you have like a centralized business transformation or digital transformation or employee experience organization, and they have these like, centralized teams that work like it's PMO or it's change or it's culture and comms, it's workplace, like all of these that cover kind of across the organization to give that view that you just don't get when you're looking at like what's the sales tech, what's the finance tech, what's the comms tech. And I think that eventually we'll get to that place where we can have, even if it's not a formal organization, but we can have the change practitioners that are working in each of the organizations be more connected, or the PMs or the knowledge strategists, that we're in a space where we're connected to one another and we're informing the work across the board. I think that will probably be the next phase for us. And I think really getting to a place where we can have kind of quarterly report outs with leadership and with people who are working on the project so that they understand why this is important. Important and why, in order to take LinkedIn from a digital transformation perspective, why it's important to do this to get us to the next level. So that's what I see happening, hopefully.
Well, it sounds like a very noble and cool body of work. And I hope that, in a year's time, we can find some way to check back in to see how things are progressing. But in the meantime, I know that there are a number of different things that have your care and attention nowadays. And you did mention GAI and AI very briefly. And so I wonder if you can share a little bit about what's happening in that arena. And let me just give you a little bit of a backdrop to say that when we're in conversation with our members, there's a little bit of a sense that there's one foot on the gas pedal and one foot on the brakes with this space. So people's curiosity levels are very high. There are lots of proofs of concept. Of course, Microsoft Copilot has had their review program out there for a number of months. And there's a level of nervousness about what does this all mean for not only digital workplace teams, but for organizations at large. And people are trying to find their feet. And so, we've published some very recent research that looks at things like the value, meaning the opportunities, and then the risk elements to help people feel like they can create safe hands to help their organizations navigate a way forward. And so, as someone who A, came from the land of Microsoft, and B, are actively working in the enterprise digital workplace arena, it would be really interesting just to get your perspective on what's happening, in and around the whole AI arena for LinkedIn and, you know, any other reflections you'd like to share from a wider industry standpoint?
So AI, big, it definitely is a big question. And I think, you know, not speaking to the AI work that is happening on LinkedIn.com and on the platform, there's definitely a huge focus for us in thinking about how we can incorporate AI into LinkedIn.com. Pivoting to internal AI and GAI, I think I never want to downplay the value of Copilot or the influence of Copilot in the workplace and in the future of how we think about work. Even when I was at Gartner last year and their digital workplace conference, you know, they were talking a lot about like digital adoption programs. And I think a lot of that is going to manifest in a way that it's through some GAI or through some Copilot assistant type application. The other thing I just like also want to say as part of this is like, we need to calm down a little bit. Marketing for Copilot is great, right? Microsoft is doing a fantastic job of putting Copilot everywhere and marketing that to every organization everywhere. And like for a lot of organizations, it's still going to be out of their grasp, right? Because it's not necessarily cheap. It's a little bit scary. There's a lot of things that come with ethical concerns or content and how content is shared within a Copilot and GAI. So I think there's a lot of stuff that's just not really accessible. But like AI, it has always been around, right? So when people come ask me, they're like, how are you using AI? And I'm like, I mean, every time Teams and I type in somebody's name, that's, you know, Lisa, and it pops up the Lisa I most talked to, like that's AI, right? So from that perspective, I'm like, we all just need to calm down. AI has been here for a long time. It has been fueling everything we do in personal and work life. I think when we look at it like tactically in terms of how is it influencing little things I do in my job, I was in a meeting earlier this week and it was kind of the starting point of me recording every single meeting that I join. And the reason I'm doing that is because we have like the meeting recap within Teams that allows us to, it basically takes the notes for me. I'm a remote worker. So, I'm sometimes easily distracted by my adorable dog that lays next to me. And so sometimes I'm not always paying attention. I do my best. But I found that the ability for Copilot and that meeting recap to not only tell me what's happened in the meeting, but kind of help me plan for my next meeting, assign tasks, know who said what, understand like where we need to go as a result of the conversations from this meeting is so, so helpful. And it really is an assistant when you think about it in that way. And so I think there's like small things like that, that people will start doing in order to better help them know what happened in the meeting and report out and work forward. You know, a lot of the project manager type stuff, it sort of does for you and can help in that assisting way. When we look at like, how does GAI kind of manifest across our portal ecosystem, you know, we're looking at how do we incorporate it to help with like ticketing, whether it's for IT or for HR, how can it be more self-service? How can you ask questions and have it better answer them in a way that maybe it hasn't happened before? I think even just looking at how Copilot can help create like PowerPoint presentations. First time I experienced that, I was like, there's at least like 3 years of at the start of my career that probably were spent just creating PowerPoints and modifying pictures and moving things around. And it really eliminates that like first step. And even just brainstorming, right? When you learn how to talk to Copilot in a way that helps generate ideas, right? And in a tone of voice that maybe you want to have it generated in, that can also help. There's times I've been stuck people ask me to do something and I'm like staring at a blank Word doc, it helps me kind of jumpstart in how I pull together a framework for how to display this information for this ask. And so I think those things can be really helpful in just streamlining how we connect all of our work together. But like none of that's really going to work if your knowledge is everywhere all at once. And I think when we look at like communications and the way that communicators are using technologies, like the best thing we can do is put it in places where it's discoverable, where it's searchable, and where like it's shareable. And that is the only way like these systems are going to be able to say, hey, like here's a document or here's a resource or here's a statement that I found within the ecosystem. So I think that's another part as we move forward, just thinking about how can this content be indexed and be surfaced to employees and used by employees. And there's a lot of, I think, training and education that comes along with that hasn't been focused on at depth in the way that it's probably going to be needed to in the future.
I have to say, I love and appreciate your clarity, your honesty, your insight, and your pragmatism. And that all just came to life in just about 4 minutes worth of you doing a little bit of sharing. And I think the way in which you're thinking about things and breaking them down so that people draw from the familiar, right? AI's been out there for a while when you've been searching Felisa, to the things that you're doing that are stepping stones to take advantage of these new resources that we have at our fingertips that start to become an extension of the team in a lot of ways. So it's almost like you're delegating the synthesis of meeting notes to another colleague and just saying, run with it. And let me know when you have the end product, or ditto for, the PowerPoint slides. And yep. So, I think, for those of us who've been, double booked and triple booked in large scale enterprises, and suddenly, the administrative side of meeting notes and action points and next steps and all of that being handled by your AI counterpart really allows for you to free up headspace to think about other things that actually are best served by what you bring to the table. And so we've talked a little bit about the geek. We've talked a little bit about the AI landscape, not only in your orbit, but in the organization as it's coming together. Are there any other big ticket items that are worth sharing in terms of your priorities for this year? And I guess that could be either at a macro level for your business agenda or more of a micro level for you from more of a professional development standpoint.
Yeah. So I'd say a couple of things there. One of the soapboxes that I frequently get on is around community, and community being core to success at a company. And I think community directly fuels those knowledge bases, thinking about not only like what content's being posted in the community, but all the comments and conversations that happen as a result of that. Like the good stuff is always in the comments on a post. So I think when people are thinking about digital strategy, or people are thinking about how do we get people to adopt stuff, missing the value of community within that and creating places for people to come together and share knowledge would be a tragedy. And so for me and for us, I continuously push that idea of creating communities, that phone a friend doesn't really work anymore, and that we have to have spaces where people can come together and learn from one another. So I would say that's a big one here. The other like kind of professional stuff that also bridges into the like for personally, but also in the workplace, I think there's a lot of interesting momentum that may come out of this GAI, as well as just communities and how we're connecting together and how we can better relate comms and business change to metrics. When I say metrics, I mean not just page views or site visits or things like that, but how can we start to tangibly say, like, the way that people engage or the way that we're communicating is influencing like employee voice surveys or influencing the way retention at companies and the way that people, view the company and its leadership. And I think there's going to be tools. And I think even today, there's ways that we can start to draw more correlation across the business to like, hey, how can we influence certain things from a comms perspective, as well as just from a technology perspective, in terms of how can we influence the core markers of what we're deeming as success, and how does that translate to like an employee voice survey? So I think there's, that piece of it, that's really something that I'm interested in. And alongside of that, right, personally, looking at continuing to learn about change management, of course, and agile change and the ways that I can grow and continue to keep up some of my certifications in that space. Organizational psychology is something that I'm really getting into. A friend of mine from Microsoft, he brought me into this modern collaboration architecture idea. And alongside that is really, how we're thinking about the behaviors that happen at a company. So I'm definitely exploring more ways I can get closer to that, and design thinking. So how are we designing products with those kind of behaviors and understandings of like human nature at the center of it?
You are one of the highest energy practitioners in our circles. And it's just wonderful to see how not only you're taking the time and care to invest in the work that you do, but also yourself. And so those who know you well or follow you, you talk about something called Stage Laurel. So where does that fit into this landscape that you've just painted for us?
Stage Laurel is the version of me that goes to conferences, kind of speaks about similar topics that we've spoken about today. And I go out to conferences and I talk about these topics and I connect with people and I learn from other people in the space. And for me, that is one of the core ways that, I'm a remote employee, like I said, so I don't have those human connections like I used to when I went to the office every single day. And I find that when I go to these conferences, these are the places where I gain some of those connections from people that I admire and that I really learn from. And it also allows me opportunity to hear what's happening in the space, to learn from some of the other products that might be coming in the space or evolving. And so Stage Laurel is the version of me that does a podcast like this and that goes and flies to Australia to speak at a conference. It's a really cool way to connect with people and help people as they're exploring the employee experience digital world.
Well, I have a couple of immediate reactions. One is we're absolutely kindred spirits. When I was growing up in my teens and my tweens, I was painfully shy. So to think, I'm sitting where I'm sitting talking to you, knowing your background, I take heart in the fact that those of us who are on the high scale of of introversion can find courage to become ambiverts and look at opportunities to challenge ourselves and think about how we can have breakthrough moments to put that fear aside in the spirit of not only paying it forward, because that's part of what you're doing in Stage Laurel, but also to really nurture your connections so that there's almost a flywheel effect to what you're doing. Because the more you share, the more you're getting, and the more you get, right? The cycle goes on. So that was sort of the first thing that I wanted to reflect on. But the other is just that this idea that now more than ever, with the amount of change that's happening and the speed at which change is happening, we almost need to become shapeshifters, because some of the roles that will exist 5 years from now haven't even been conceived of yet. not only in the working world at large, but within our discipline as well. And, you know, the brain is a muscle. You have to keep flexing it and exercising it in order to be able to stay relevant and compelling. And, you know, I think we always need to be the students of our craft. And so, you know, what you've just shared is a very vibrant example of that. So I just wanted to share those two thoughts.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. I mean, I think that's kind of at the core of the digital workplace group too, right? Like learning from one another, getting experts together. And I think just we're at this pace and place in the world where, you know, it's more acceptable to admit that you just don't know what you're doing and you need help. And I think that places like the Digital Workplace Group and other conferences are great ways to connect with people and learn from them. And I would say the conversations I have between the presentations are some of the most valuable. And when I'm looking at like, how can I offer advice to people in the future, and to your point about the pace at which things are speeding up, you know, you can't prepare for everything. There's just no way to do it. And you're going to have to know and accept the fact that like whatever decision you make now, based on all the expert knowledge you could possibly glean from anywhere in the world, could be entirely the wrong thing to do like 2 months from now. And you just have to go with it, right? And I think being able to work with leadership, being able to work at companies where like there's not this fear and there's not this designing for the 1% of things that might break or people that may mess it up, I think that's the place where this space can really thrive. And staying on top of what's happening in the ecosystem, but also staying grounded on the values that you have as an individual, as the company has, and being able to guide leaders and practitioners through the changes, I think that's where people like you and I, or people who may be listening in on this podcast, can really kind of stay the charge as we move forward through this rapidly changing world, which, by the way, I love, right? Like, I wouldn't be here doing this if I didn't want to be inside the insanity, learning everything I possibly can, right? Like, it's a really cool space to be a part of.
Well, I'm definitely a self-proclaimed digital workplace nerd and have been operating in this space for, dare I say, upwards of 25 years?
Yeah, it's a long time.
So it's a long time. And so, Laurel, I could talk with you for hours, but I'm conscious that we're getting close to the end of our time together. And so I just thought it would be interesting to ask you, is there a question that you were hoping I'd ask and I haven't asked you?
I definitely thought, I mean, I get a lot of questions about like, do intranets matter anymore, right? Like, is that a thing? Or is the digital workplace a thing anymore? Those are like two questions that come up a lot, right? Like, do you need an intranet with Copilot? Do you need a digital workplace function anymore? Is that an idea that's kind of gone to the wayside? Those are two questions I get a lot. You want me to answer them, don't you? I hear you. I see it.
You know, I was setting you up.
I know
that,
you
right?
were. I'm a smart cookie sometimes.
I know you are.
So I would say with the intranet question, you know, LinkedIn's been launching an intranet and ramping the intranet for a little while now. The way I look at kind of all of the stuff with Copilot and AI is there's the, how I've been explaining it here, right, is there's the ability to search or ask for questions, right? And that is like a direct thing that you do when you know what you're looking for, right? Like, show me my benefits, or how can I take better advantage of my benefits? That's a thing that you know to ask for. And the way that I see like an intranet playing a role in all of this is for the things that you don't know, right? Like, I may not know to search for like some org change, right? Or I may not know to search for like some event that's happening within the company. And it's the same thing as you have like in your mobile device or even in your computer where like, yeah, I can go into my phone and I can open the app that I want, or I can search for the content that I want. But I'm also getting notifications about stuff. Like something is reminding me, oh, you have a bill due. Thanks a lot for that reminder. Or like, hey, here's a news item you might be interested in. Or, hey, check your notifications here. And I mean, there's a lot of conversations we could have about like social media and all and the way that phones grab your attention. But there's a balance there. And I think that's the role that the internet plays, is helping you find information that you didn't know you needed or you didn't know to search for. And that maybe because you're not instructing Copilot or even using enterprise search to find that content, you're not going to find it. So I think that would be my answer to the internet question. Yes, still a valuable resource, but not something that I think everyone needs to come to every single day. It's more there when you need it. When it comes to like digital workplace and whether or not that's still a thing, I mean, it's evolved over time. I'm sure you've seen it called different things, whether it's digital transformation or digital workplace or employee experience or digital employee experience. I think they're all evolutions of the same thing. And I think we will continue to see that. I don't think what it's called may change, but I don't think like the idea of needing to consolidate or have a holistic view of how people, technology, workplaces, culture all come together, I don't think that's going to go away. And I think as, you know, the workplace continues to change generationally, it'll be needed more than ever. So I would say both of those things are still relevant.
Yes and yes, from my point of view. And I like to use the metaphor of a house. So for many organizations, the internet is still the front door. But as this space continues to change, if you think of it as the digital headquarters as a whole, it may be that the intranet at some point will become the side door or a window. And in other cases, you know, sometimes you have to change it out altogether and a new door comes in. And so I think that's part of the beauty of our industry, right? It's not static. It's not hygiene. It is a vital part of organizations, just like any other strategic asset when you think about it as an entity. And part of the charm for me is that, you know, as needs are changing, just like when you own a house, your needs evolve and the kitchen you had 25 years ago is not the style of the kitchen that you have now. And you can change things out to meet specific needs, both form and function.
I love that analogy. I feel like house analogies are used a lot in the digital workplace.
Well, I come from a family with quite a few engineers and architects, so
it makes sense now.
It's an easy metaphor to draw from, mm-hmm. Exactly. So I think that's a great place to cap off today's conversation with the promise that we'll chat again.
I look forward to that, and I appreciate you reaching out to me. This has been a joy to reconnect with you, and you know, as you've been following me, I've been following you, so it's been a pleasure.
Digital Workplace Impact is brought to you by the Digital Workplace Group. DWG is a strategic partner covering all aspects of the evolving digital workplace industry, not only through membership, but also benchmarking and boutique consulting services. For more information, visit digitalworkplacegroup.com.